So here we are on Easter. It's been a whirlwind week. Unbelievable. It's one of those weeks that pastors wear their clerical shirts so much that when Sunday finally comes and we're at home, we actually want to take it off and burn it. But we've gone through a lot of events, and if you've been with us through all or most of them, you know what they were like. We went through that whirlwind event of Passion Sunday, where we heard an incredible presentation from the choir, a cantata that walked us through Holy Week, reminding us of the events that were to come this week. We listened as well on Maundy, Thursday. We listened again of the story of that event of Jesus being there with his disciples, washing the feet of those who were there to show them how significant it was to be a follower of Jesus, that he sets the tone that we too must follow by serving others. And we received as well that day a memory that we shared every time we come together of Jesus' presence in word and in sacrament. And then on Friday, again, another incredible event of hearing the text of Good Friday, the long passion story read in its completeness with bidding prayers, the kinds of prayers that we don't usually pray throughout the rest of the year. We heard them again, and then we had the chance to come with a stripped table and a stripped sanctuary. We stood before the cross and we remembered the gift that God has given us through the actions of Jesus. And we gathered last night, the first breath and hints of Easter, as we listened to Old Testament texts being read that pointed always to the events of Christ and Jesus and God's involvement with that event. We listened as well and participated in a renovation of a renewal of our baptismal vows. And we participated once again in that great event, the proclamation of the presence of Christ, the resurrected and risen Christ, in the sharing of bread and wine at Holy Communion. And we walked out there as a final celebration of Easter, the first hint of Easter, as we celebrated together with ice cream and strawberries. You were with us throughout most of those events. And it was a whirlwind event. And now we find ourselves on Easter Sunday with all the music that's here and the instruments that lift up the importance of this day and all the words and the hallelujah that's lifted up. And we fill ourselves with joy and excitement. And we find that as the day progresses, hour after hour, long after the noon meal has settled in our stomachs, and we've taken our afternoon, what I refer to as our afternoon pastoral nap on Sunday afternoon, we begin looking at our Monday and weekly schedules. And we begin looking ahead at the events that are to come the rest of the week. And soon we begin thinking of getting back into the normal stream of things. Holy Week will be behind us. Easter, within a few hours, will be a memory. And we find ourselves going back in, a bit thankful that we are back into the normal schedules of our day. It was a little bit like that for the women who gathered on Easter Sunday. They were there when they buried Jesus, and they were vigilant. They were there in vigil, watching, praying over the tomb that was sealed and in guard by soldiers. And they came now on Easter Sunday, which for them would have been like Monday morning. And they came that day to continue to be, to live in the normalcy of life. For the women of those days would go to the tomb and be vigilant. But as they arrived, something different happened. Something incredible happened. The power and might of God was expressed as the stone was rolled away in their presence, and soldiers, the very source and sign of the power of the Roman Empire, trembled and froze as if they were dead. And an angel rested upon that great stone and spoke to the women, and their lives would never be the same. From that time on, there was no longer a normal in the lives of those women, for they heard a proclamation and they saw the reality of the power of God's might to transform and make new, to bring where there was once dead, to bring life, to bring where there was once loss, and the thought of all purpose being swallowed up on the cross now came to life in a new way, in a new possibility. And they recognized surely that very moment that their lives would never be the same because they stood in the presence of the resurrected Christ. Their lives would never be the same. And if there is a proclamation of Easter, it's partly that. Our lives cannot be the same. We cannot walk out of here and be the same as we were when the week started 7 days ago. Something different has happened. We, like the women of that day, recognize that God, through His might, took a sign of defeat and humiliation and made it one of victory. We too recognize with the women of that day that the place of death and of bodily changes and of odors became a place of promise of eternal life, where God, through His power, took something that was a place of abandonment, a place where the disciples had a sense that they were totally alone, forgotten, left in the lurch by God. Now, God would come close to them, as Jesus said, and let them know, the very ones who abandoned me so many days ago, let them know, I'll see them once again in Galilee. Sins are forgiven. Life can never be the same. That humans takes humans and makes them sons and daughters of God. That's what Easter does. Takes humans like you and I and makes us sons and daughters of God. How can things be the same? How can we continue in the same mode? Our lives have been changed and transformed at the empty tomb, at the presence of Christ in word and in sacrament. At the great words proclaimed on Easter Sunday, Christ is risen, hallelujah. Christ is risen indeed, hallelujah. We cannot approach Monday the same way we have in the past, because God has revealed Himself, because God has brought to us life, because God has taken what was a mere Holy Week and on Easter Sunday shows us that all things, all time, all people, all creation is now truly under God's rule. And knowing that on Easter Sunday, this day, that all things are under God's rule, then we can confess with Paul what he wrote in Romans to be true. We see it, we recognize it, we live it, and on this day we experience anew that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, because God showed on Easter Sunday the extent of His power and the extent of His love for all of you. For that reason, we can say with a very loud voice, Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.